place of higher education. I'm going to teach you to be a journalist. So one day, if you are like Jason Whitlock, you know what you're doing. And I took it as Coach K, he was a Jag, but it was he was teaching him the proper ways to ask the question.
Welcome to the third hour podcast, everybody. We've got more here in our last hour here.
By the way,
we've crossed over.
Vicky McHenry, who's a P1, said Duke is a university, an educational institution. Coach K accidentally used this as a teaching moment to the student. I have no problem with it. While Pastor Joe Basile says, not a Coach K fan, nor Duke fan, but he sees himself as an educator. I felt like his tone was indicative of a teaching moment. Could have been way better executed, but seemed very well intended.
Yep.
All right. We will continue. It's a huge day in Chicago sports history, mainly because the Bears don't usually win Super Bowls.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
The stage is colorfully set for the NFL's top two companies, the Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots. Hello, everyone. Dick Enwood with Merlin Olsen. As my friend Kurt Gowdy, the Hall of Famer, used to say, how about the game? Are we finally there?
I think the waiting is almost as hard on us as it is on the teams, Dick.
What a hitter he is. Second down and 10. Eason dragged down by Steve McMichael. Fumbles. The Bears have it. They rule it. Yes, it is a fumble. And number 99, Dan Hampton, has it for the Bears. On the ground to Craig James. Caught in the backfield. And a fumble, and the Bears have it again. Nothing but linemen, including William Perry, in the backfield.
319.
Moorhead, one of the tight ends in motion. Perry, what drives through, and following behind is McMahon for the touchdown. McMahon with good play action going for the bomb from his own end zone to Galt. They won't catch him except by the shirt tail. Marion saved the touchdown. So the Bears unloading with that great defense. They're showing all the weaponry, and McMahon from his own end zone hits Galt for 59 yards. Here they come. And intercepted for a touchdown, the rookie Reggie Phillips. The reality of first and goal. 3.8. Another Super Bowl record, the first refrigerator to score.
And the largest running back ever to score a touchdown.
And Walter Payton, I guess they figure they got a whole quarter to go. They're getting ready to carry Dick. Dick doesn't want to go yet. He says, wait till I see that final second. Who's going to argue with Perry? He wins most of those. Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans. 46-10, the final.
46-10. I mean, it was a sack party. And the Bears were losing 3-0 after Walter Payton fumbled. And then... game on, man. Reggie Phillips with a pick six off a tip. Just, it was just an amazing, amazing day. I still remember there was a party at my parents' house, and my brother and I, there weren't even seats for us. We were sitting on the floor, and when they were down 3-0 after Peyton fumble, we were like, you're kidding me. Really? And then, buckle your chin straps because the Bears are going to win in a freaking blowout. It was a lot of fun, Hoodie.
Let me tell you, the one thing I will remember is watching that game with my grandparents, with my dad, watching it with family. I also remember on the main streets, there were no cars. Everyone was watching that game.
Everybody wasn't
people saying, ah, it's Super Bowls. Everybody watched that game. And that's what happens when the Bears are good. Everybody's under the tent. Women, children, non-sports fans, dog, cat, fish. They're all under the tent to watch the Bears. It is because it brings all the sports fans together in this town to watch the Bears because the Bears drive the bus, and that definitely was the case in 1985.
312-332-3776.
Man, I mean, just it's funny. You we were watching the game early in the meeting, and just some of the plays that we see are we're just kind of like wincing at some of these hard hits, like who? Because we were looking at it through 2021 eyes.
Oh, you're like
in 85. I mean, these were just common plays, no flags.
That one that you saw when I think they hit. I don't know if it was, who was it, Tony Eason?
Correct, Eason.
He got drilled, like, wow, today? Oh, roughing the passer.
My God.
There? He's just laying on the ground like he was dead.
How about the windmill shot on McMahon, hitting him low, you know, a cartwheel. I mean, that's 15 yards, maybe an ejection. Pretty tough.
It truly was a different game that they were playing because the quarterbacks weren't allowed to stand in there and get comfortable. We talk a lot about the passing game and why part of the reason we're obsessed these days with finding a franchise quarterback for the current Bears is because the quarterbacks are allowed to navigate the field in any way they want without really fear of being pressured the way they were back in the 85 Bears era.
Correct. There were a couple. In fact, Hoodie just had one on his iPad over there. I remember when they played the Falcons that year and they won 36-0.
Oh, my God.
David Archer was the quarterback, and Richard Dent drove him into the ground and landed on him with the full weight of his body. David Archer just laid there. Today? Oh, my God. I mean, no shot.
Just amazing. The Bears would, that during that time, the Bears would go through the first string and the second string quarterback, and the third string quarterback would be either the punter or some old guy, and he'd be hiding under the bench like, don't go to me.
I don't want to get killed.
Oh, my God. I mean,
that's Joe Ferguson getting hit in Detroit?
Yes.
He was out. In fact, who did we hit? Lomas Brown.
Yes.
He said, that's the first time I ever saw a man unconscious before he hit the ground.
I mean, that's the kind of football we're talking about here. It was amazing, an amazing time because everybody was into the Bears. And, yes, kids, there was a time when the Patriots weren't very good. This was their height for a while to even get into the Super Bowl.
Their helmets, though, were really cool with the little Patriot guy snapping the ball. That was the logo.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Awesome. So. But it was crazy, man, how different the game was. Steve Grogan and Tony Eason from Illinois were their quarterbacks, and the Bears just kept crushing guys.
So what's the fantasy ramifications during that time? You're playing fantasy, if it's available, in 1985. You're loading up on quarterbacks and running backs, right? Is receivers even drafted in the snake draft?
So it was a running back league. I mean, Walter Payton, you know, in 85, he's a consensus first rounder every year. The only quarterback who you ever thought about was Dan Marino because he's the only guy who threw like modern day. I'm disappointed, though. We always talk about Walter Payton not scoring a touchdown. The fact that Waddle didn't catch a pass in the 85 Super Bowl, I mean, that doesn't get talked about enough.
He had like 12 targets.
I know, but he didn't catch a pass. That's always disappointing to me.
Yeah, he dropped, what, I think, three.
So Marquee has a special tonight. And I was
what?
The Marquee Network. They're running a special tonight.
What is it?
It's apparently the Bears Network. They run the Super Bowl on a loop. No, they have a special broadcast tonight of the 85 Bears, the Super Bowl. And both Danny and I are going to, I'm going to record it. Danny, I think, is going to watch it live with our kids so that they can see what winning football in Chicago actually looks like.
I think doing a show, I want to do a show with Sylvie as if we were doing it in January of 85.
Oh, Twitch.
I'm going to do a Twitch idea. We go back and forth, and Sylvie complains about how come Walter's always in motion and not getting enough touches.
Exactly.
And how come he doesn't get in the end zone? Why is Suey fumbling the football in that spot? I think that's what we need to do.
Can you imagine if gambling was as prevalent then as it is now, how many people would have lost their asses on betting Walter Payton to have an anytime touchdown in the Super Bowl?
I mean, that's clearly personal.
And I wonder what the fridge would have been to get an anytime touchdown.
Well, he already scored one in the regular season, right?
He scored two.
Yes, yes.
He
two.
Had the run against the Packers, and then he caught a pass against the Packers.
He still would have been plus 1,200 or more. He had have been at least plus 1,200.
I don't know. The odds might have been skewed, though, because he was such a national story by that point. You probably would not have gotten great odds on the fact because he only had two touchdowns.
You'd lose your house on Walter not getting in, though.
Right.
That would be the end. You have to turn the keys in.
They scored 46 points, and Walter didn't get a touchdown?
We could say it now, Cap'n. Listen, you're on the inside of this. Personal, right? It was personal by Ditka.
I don't think so. I do not.
Excuse me?
I think
You know the inside. You know, you've been around a lot of those ex-players. What did they say? Personal, right?
No. They do not believe it was personal. They think it just got so out of control that they're like, oh, God. Well, 46. We'll get more points. Oh, God. We never got back down there. Yeah.
Should have got him in there. Gave him one touch.
Well, he gave the ball to Sui, and he gave the ball to Jim McMahon on a keeper, and he gave the ball to the fridge. I mean, he had his shots on the goal line to give the ball to Walter.
No doubt about it.
When Walter fumbled, that was it. And that wasn't right. I didn't realize how many times they had him in motion out there to be a wide receiver. Like, he's not getting the ball out there. That was way too advanced during that time. Was it Meller? Like, he saw some of this stuff in motion. Like, they had him roll to the right. Like, that's McKinnon. He's not getting the ball. Why'd he roll him out there? To give the ball to Sui? Personal.
No shot.
Why else would he do that? I mean, it's your number one guy. Why would you do that?
I think it's just the moment got too big.
Who's the OC during that? I forgot. Who's the OC?
Ed Hughes.
Why would Ed Hughes not call that play?
Ed Hughes. I don't know.
That's one of football's greatest mysteries.
312-332-3776. Do the Bulls need to consider trading Zach LaVine? Plus your calls. If people want to weigh in on Coach K, 312-332-3776. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Don't forget, crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko at 10. Greeny at noon. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 o'clock. Black and Abdallah at 6. And please download the ESPN Chicago app. Stream all our programming crystal clear and right there on the front page. When you click on the app, all it does, automatic, instant play. And then you can get our podcasts. We would love for you to please download the Cap J Hood podcast and the Under the Hood Basketball podcast as well. And I think the Armchair Nutritionist podcast is also on that front page.
Also available. So the Bulls played the Celtics yesterday, 119-103, the loss for the Bulls. Bulls are now 7-10, Cap.
7-10, too many turnovers, but I do see progress. Look, they're facing a Boston team that thinks they could be good enough to win the East. They face the Lakers team that's the defending world champ. They faced the Bucks a couple times where they just played bully ball with the Bulls because they're veteran, they're strong, they're tough, and you're trying to ask a 19-year-old Patrick Williams to guard the best player maybe in the world in Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I see progress from Billy Donovan. I'm a huge fan of him as a coach, and I feel like it's just going to take time. You're going to have to add more talent, and this is a developmental year, period. You agree?
I agree with you, and you could tell that there's just some teams the Bulls are just not good as. They're just not good enough to beat. The Lakers this past Saturday, that was a tough sledding. That's the champs you're taking on right there. And actually a better Laker team than you had last year.
Right.
LeBron surrounded by a lot better talent than he had last year. More shooting and guys that can get it done. And with Boston, you know, what was frustrating to watch is just the Bulls not being able to just finish at the rim. I need them to finish through defenders, not around them.
Stacey talked about that, Stacey King, last night, like three times. Zach LaVine comes down the court. He hits Thomas Satoransky on his way to the basket. Now, I wasn't too focused because I only had money on the over 4.5 assists for Zach LaVine, and he finished with, I think, three or four. And all three times, Satoransky missed. You watch Garrett Temple finish at the rim.
Yes.
He goes hard to the backboard.
Yes.
You watch Patrick Williams get out of my way. Even Zach when he's in that vicinity. But, wow. You watch some of these guys. They turn it over too much.
God almighty.
Yeah.
Jeez, Cap. I mean,
and I'm not a huge Kobe White guy.
Well,
I'm not.
Well, okay, so a couple things. One, you can't keep turning the ball over 17, 18 times. I don't care who you are.
Were they 18?
18 last night. But I don't care if you're a good team, bad team. You can't turn the ball over 18 times. And six of them came from Zach LaVine. he's going to have the ball in his hands a lion's share of the time, so he's going to be apt to turn the ball over. But the thing is, though, as I was trying to talk through this with you earlier today, is that, okay, so you're minus 10 at the foul line.
Mm-hmm.
You're at home, but there's no crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a neutral side game probably for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just if you're more aggressive, you're going to get more calls. The Celtics had 20 foul shots, and the Bulls had 10. That's because the Bulls want to be able to be acute around the rim instead of trying to draw the foul and dictate the pace of the game.
Correct.
When you dictate the pace, you will get more calls. The team that's more aggressive going to the basket are the ones that's going to get calls. And the Bulls are just not that.
34 points given up off those 18 turnovers. Add in, as you just pointed out astutely, a minus 10 at the free throw line in disparity. Dude, that's 44 points. You can't overcome that. You can't. But it's a teaching moment for Billy Donovan. No one expected them to go to the NBA Finals and win it this year. It's a teaching moment. But at the end of this year, Arturis, Mark Eversley, and Billy have to put their heads together and go, okay, who can we live with and who can we live without? Are you paying Zach, you know, stupid money? Are you paying Lowry a big extension? I mean, you're going to tie your hands before free agency.
Okay, so on Saturday night, I cheated on you. I know that we've had a great relationship, but just for one night,
mm-hmm.
I went to NBA Radio on mm-hmm. Sirius XM, mm-hmm. Sirius 207 XM 86, and did a show with Reggie Theus.
Nice.
Former Chicago Bull Reggie Theus.
Yes.
So just for one night, I had an excursion with a different radio partner.
Mm-hmm.
So an entanglement.
I'll cut you a break.
Because it's Reggie Theus, right?
Right.
It's Rush Street Reggie. Of course
Rush
you
Street
will,
Reggie.
Right? So Theus and I hosted the show on Saturday night. And, of course, with him being a former Bull and the Bulls playing the Lakers, I just knew the Bulls had no chance. We talked after the Bulls game about Zach LaVine. You remember, like I remember, that Reggie Theus was it in Chicago. It was Reggie Theus and Walter Payton. Those are the two big stars of the late 70s,
correct.
Right? And so you remember Reggie. I mean, he had some decent teammates, but Reggie did a lot of the scoring. He was the guy, right? And so Zach is going through this now. Like, he's the guy, but then you're trying to figure out who could be on his level scoring-wise, ability-wise. So I talked to Reggie Theus about how his career with the Bulls mirrors Zach LaVine.
It's difficult, and you don't want to be a guy, and this is something that I had to deal with my entire career. You don't want to be the best player on a bad team for your whole career, and that happened to me a lot. I went from Chicago to Sacramento. You know, I went from Sacramento to Atlanta, where we had a really good team, but I was there 1 year, then I went to Orlando. So I was the best player, scoring a lot of points and doing a lot of things, but just on a team that wasn't ever on, you know, playing on Sundays, wasn't playing on Christmas Day. And those things, ultimately, they hurt your career. So he's got to think about, and management has to basically show him and talk to him about their plan, where this is going. Or I would say that Zach's got to start thinking about moving on. Because, and I think that, obviously, I'm a fan of Billy Donovan, and I know Maurice Cheeks, he's got great coaching staff. And that's going to help. And, you know, obviously he's done a great job of blending with them because, you know, he didn't get along with the other guy at all. So it's tough. It's like you go home and you start to think about, I'm doing my job. What else can I do to help the team? And there's really nothing else he can do because he doesn't have anyone that can match what he can do. Now, I had Artis Gilmore, who was a great center, one of the best ever. You know, but that sort of stopped right there. David Greenwood had a couple of good years.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in the team now and the team when I played is management, ownership. You know, they've won before. Now they know they have a formula. They know what it's going to take, and they have to be able to utilize what they've done in the past to get back there. But for Zach as a personal, he's got to start thinking about himself. He's got to think about his career. He's young. He's got a couple more contracts in front of him. But he's also got to think about, you know, what he wants to leave behind. Being the best player on a bad team is not the way you want to spend your career.
There you go.
So Reggie Theus, a former Bull who's gone through this, the same thing that Zach LaVine's gone through. And Reggie, Cap, you can speak to it, how terrific of a player that Reggie was coming out of college, right?
He came out of UNLV. He was 6'7". He could handle like a wizard, but he was used to playing up-tempo, high-octane, in-your-face offensive basketball. He got here, nobody could keep up. Like, he was a different level player. And then he mentioned David Greenwood. David Greenwood came here. It was UCLA. Good player, not great. They lost a coin toss, which gave them David Greenwood. Yeah, the other team got Magic Johnson. But had that coin toss worked, we don't ever get Michael.
True. Oh, but fair trade. Magic Johnson and the Bulls works, too.
It did.
It works, too.
Either way, you'd go, oh, we got one of the top seven players.
That's right.
But I wouldn't trade what came with Michael, but that's what happened.
So what do you do if you're the Bulls? He mentioned the contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So soon, that 4 years, $80 million or whatever he's making, that's going to change. So Cap, what do you do if you're the Bulls? Because, yes, he's the best player, but are you affording him another contract thinking that, yep, he's going to be our future, we just have to build around him, or find another leader offensively? What do you do there?
See, you're going to have to max him. He's playing well enough. He's going to get a monster deal if he leaves. You can't pay him and Lauri Markkanen. And I loved Lauri in the draft. He hasn't come as quickly as I thought he might. But last night, he still put up 18 and handful of rebounds. He runs well. He makes perimeter jump. He had three threes last night. To be able to stretch the floor at 7'1 or 7 feet tall, that's a huge thing to have. But you can't pay a massive contract to Lauri and a full boat max deal to Zach LaVine and go, well, where are we getting money then to delve into free agency? How are we going to rebuild this thing so it's better? I think one of them has to get traded. I do. I want to see how Zach develops under Billy Donovan the rest of this year. I do.
See, it's tough because
still had another year under contract.
Yes, but it's tough because you see the production, right? Mm-hmm. And you see the double digits and the dynamic scoring, and you say, well, what else? It feels like Melo with the Knicks. Yeah, Melo will give you 29, 30 a night if you asked him to, but then around him it's like, well, no one's even close to him.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get better as a team? That's the question. How do you get better as a team? If I knew that the ceiling for Lauri Markkanen was a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, mm-hmm. like, okay, now I got a 1-2 punch. Okay,
right.
I can work with that.
Or if he's, what's his name? Nikola Jokic?
Sure.
He's not.
Sure.
I'm not saying he is. He's not.
Sure. But now you've got a 1-2 punch. Now, okay, now I got two guys to build around. With Coby White,
I didn't like the pick. I remember arguing with Jordan Cornette.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, come on, Coby White. He won't be there at 7. And then when he was, like, you got it. That guy's awesome. He's 20 years old. Can he develop? Absolutely. I just don't see pure point guard in him. I see a guy who was the most talented kid on his high school team, played on one of the better college programs of all time at North Carolina. He lasted 1 year, and he went and chase the money in the NBA, and God bless him for doing it. I just don't think you can win and win big with him at the point, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, developing Patrick Williams. And what does Wendell Carter do that's special? Special.
Nothing.
Plays hard, rebounds. Special. You got too many guys that aren't special.
This is why this is a development year, to find out who can play, who can't.
Correct.
Can you sneak in one? I know we got no shot or no shot. Can we just sneak in one?
Sure. Let's grab Nathan in Glenview. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
How you doing?
Hey, Nathan.
Good. So you got me interested this morning. I was playing around on the NBA trade calculator. So I'm going to throw out two potential trade scenarios here. The first is for Zach LaVine. I think if you're going to trade LaVine, you look at Philadelphia. Ben Simmons is clearly not happy there, and they wanted James Harden. So my question is, can you get Ben Simmons on the Bulls, and then you have a bona fide superstar? You send Zach LaVine, Satoransky, those contracts match, and then you get Simmons on the Bulls, and you build around Simmons. That solves your problem. He can play a point.
Yeah.
My second trade
I don't know about that one, but go ahead.
You don't like it, or you do like it?
I don't, because I'm not a huge Ben Simmons guy. He had a coach, and he's a talented guy. I'm not saying he's not a good player. Is he worth full boat money when Brett Brown said to him, please, and Doc has said the same thing, please shoot the ball from the perimeter, and he basically refuses?
If I can put perimeter shooters around him, I could take it. Because Simmons does everything you want except shoot threes. He does everything you want. And by the way, it may not be the Bulls. Someone's going to pay him full boat because of the amount of production he puts up. I'm just telling you. But I know that's hard to say in 2021 to have that kind of talent that doesn't shoot any threes.
Right.
But Cap, anything else you want, he's Magic Johnson-like on everything else that you want besides that.
Yeah, for a guy that is going to get that kind of money.
Right.
Now, again, this year his season averages 12.8 points, 8.4 rebounds, 7.9 assists. Multi-talented. But is he – like, why do the 76ers want to move on from him?
Because of what you just said. That's the one ingredient. He doesn't shoot well. He doesn't shoot well from the perimeter. That's why he's in all these trade talks.
Career low in scoring. He averaged 15, 16, 16, down to 12.
All that scoring around him, though, he can't give you 25 points a game because Embiid will shoot more threes than he will.
Now, I'll give you this. He plays. When he stays healthy.
Yeah.
He competes, so –
What's the second deal, Nathan?
All right. So the second deal is you look at the Brooklyn Nets right now. They've obviously got their big three. My thing is they've got to get some rotation pieces. The Bulls have, in my opinion, one of the best benches in the league. So I'm looking at the Nets right now. They kind of need to win now, and they've got Dinwiddie out for the year with the ACL. Point guard, yep. Plays a two-point guard position, in my opinion, really undervalued. I'm curious if maybe the Bulls can send Thad Young and then throw in another piece in there. Get Dinwiddie at a bit of a discount because he's coming off of an injury. And then that kind of solves your point guard problem, too. You can slide Kobe into the two-guard spot. And, I mean, listen, the best-case scenario for the Bulls this year, they're competitive. They get to the seventh or eighth seed. They lose the play-in game, and you get the Bulls in the lottery again. You give AK another chance to hit on a potential pick, and then you build from there. So, for me, trading away a couple bench pieces or Zach, I'm all good with that. I'd like to see the Bulls build for the future.
Appreciate it, Nathan. Thanks for listening, man. Have a good day. We'll get to more calls, but Shot or No Shot is next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I say amen.
Shot. No Shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why.
Shot No Shot brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit them at Hawthorne Racecourse to experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the awesome PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit $20 with code ESPN. And fans can submit their best shot or no shot each Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You must include the hashtag Shot or No Shot. Hashtag Shot or No Shot. Best submission we read on the air by Danny on Friday, and that will be the winner. You'll get $100 in Club Hawthorne mobile app wagers and $100 in PointsBet Sportsbook app wagers.
Hey,
Danny.
You smell pretty good today.
Thanks, buddy.
A little brute?
No. Nope. Paul Sebastian today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Does he know that he's on you right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Big fan.
Didn't know you and Paul were that close.
We were good friends in high school, and then he came up with this great cologne and sent it to me.
It smells good. He has there's a little a little brute smell in here. I know it's not me, but it just feels very fatherly in here. Very.
Oh my God.
I didn't catch that smell when I came in there. I didn't smell it.
A little Stetson cologne brand that fits. Yeah.
Paul Sebastian.
I think it's Sebastian.
Paul Sebastian.
All right. Well, this smells good in here. It smells very adult.
I don't know if they make it in tinctures or whatever that is.
What country is that? Go ahead.
I don't know.
Gentlemen, there's a Super Bowl to be played in a couple weeks. Tom Brady is playing in it again, so of course I like to talk about the GOAT. Tom Brady owns 6 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. He now heads to his 10th championship game with the Bucs, his new team. Gentlemen, shot or no shot, Tom Brady has the biggest impact on his teams than any other player currently playing in sports.
Okay, so that means Tom Brady versus LeBron.
Tom Brady versus LeBron. There's no baseball player that has that impact, and I don't believe there's a hockey player that has that impact. Does Lionel Messi count? I mean, he's amazing. I would say those are the three
that
go
in. What
about KD? Yeah, big impact on that team. He's the alpha dog now on that Brooklyn team.
What about Giannis?
No shot. Tom Brady, I'm going to go shot. I'm going to go shot.
It's Tom Brady or LeBron when you narrow it down. I don't know enough
about. What about Anthony Davis?
No.
I mean, LeBron didn't win a championship in the Lakers till AD got there.
Yeah. You mean this year's MVP, Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
From perspectives?
Correct.
I will say shot to your question because Brady, if he does this, LeBron's done it with three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Tom Brady, at that age, that's the thing that tips it over the top for me.
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie. I go shot. Tom Brady is ridiculous. And I was so done and over New England, but I have the utmost respect for Tom Brady, how he lives his life, the type of guy he apparently is. Yeah, shot.
I say no shot because I think the guy who's going to be on the other side of the ball playing him in the Super Bowl has the biggest impact in sports, Patrick Mahomes.
Hasn't done it long enough.
But it's what was the question?
I said currently playing in sports. I didn't say all time.
Currently playing in sports.
No, I'm not saying all time.
Well, this season's current. You don't have to be playing long enough for it to be right now.
I think we'll see in the Super Bowl on display Patrick Mahomes' effect on his team, and it will be him.
You know what? Put that in the calendar to do this after the Super Bowl. Danny?
Done deal.
You come back, circle back with that question again, and then my answer might change. I'll go with Brady because of the championships and the age in which he's in the stratosphere.
Plus, he doesn't have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Mecole Hardman and on and on. And Tom takes like you and me and goes, all right, those are my receivers. That sucks, but I'll make it work.
Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown.
When he was in New England, Gronkowski, he didn't have
Edwards. No doubt, but right now?
Yeah, I'm going to go Tom Brady.
This is why Danny's a genius. You see this, right?
Yeah.
Good question. Every shot or no shot could be an hour on some shows.
Go ahead.
We could do a podcast. Gentlemen, Anheuser-Busch is joining Coke and Pepsi and skipping Super Bowl ads this year. Other veteran Super Bowl advertisers like Audi and Avocados from Mexico are going to sit out as well. The ads cost about $5.5 million for 30 seconds, which will air on CBS. And many other companies are deciding whether or not it's worth it this year. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, although the game itself will be great, Super Bowl Sunday will have a much different feel and look than we're used to.
What was that first sponsor?
Anheuser-Busch.
I have no idea. I would say that possibly it would be everyone's head here. That went over everybody's head in here.
Yeah. Explain it.
What was the sponsor?
Anheuser-Busch.
I would have no idea. So.
No, I got it.
Wow.
You went over everybody's head in here. That's great. I love that. It will have a different feel for sure.
It'll have a different feel because it won't be packed in the stadium. There'll be some fans there.
Right.
But there's still going to be a ton of ads. And I think Anheuser-Busch is not doing the Clydesdales. Thank you. Not doing the Clydesdales, but they're still going to advertise Bud Light. There'll still be enough feeling. I don't think it'll be. Other than the fans, I don't think it'll be that different. No shot. Still going to be a 42-hour pregame show.
Yeah, there's still going to be spots. I just think that the feel will be different because, you know, when we get the halftime act of the weekend, they'll still be – well, now, that's the other thing. When the weekend goes out there, you're going to have the rabid fans around the stage like you normally do?
Or probably not, social distance.
There will be some things that will be different. Yes, Danny, I agree with that.
I feel like the commercials, it's $5.5 million for 30 seconds, and then on top of that, they pay millions and millions for these great production values, and they're all going to pare down because they took hits, you know, with the pandemic. I just think that some people, like my mom, tunes in for the commercials. I don't know if she'll be as entertained this year.
I also read advertising agencies have made it a point to note that it's a fine line to walk because they don't know exactly who has the appetite for a funny commercial, what's out of bounds, what's off limits in the era of COVID. And so that's why a lot of companies said, you know what, rather than splurge $5.5 million and potentially risk having an ad that we think is funny offend some people or just not hit the right tone, they're like, you know what, it's not worth it. They're actually using a lot of their money to do with targeting ads via social media.
And
donating via your phone.
Anheuser-Busch is donating a bunch of it.
Yeah, their Budweiser Clydesdale money, as Danny said, going to a vaccine awareness campaign. So,
but it's not going to stop the funny from Progressive and,
right,
and all the other, other
come on, sponsors. Man, it's a commercial.
Yeah.
So, all right, Danny.
Oh, guys, we'll have to save the Kim Kardashian.
Oh, come on.
Tomorrow.
We tried that
every time, man.
Check her Instagram. She's added something new worth your while.
Oh, you just kind of slipped that in there.
Well, guys, it was the next question.
It's a nugget.
Check that out. Coming up next.
A year ago today was a terrible, terrible day in sports. But we will talk about it next.
Look at that.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Bryant.
They need some help.
Long run out by Kobe Bryant. Behind him. Oh! What did I just see?
You just saw what Kobe does best, and that's bring people to their feet with a sensational play.
The double teamed O'Neal. Horn. Fisher. Nice rotation of Bryant.
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center. What a play.
Lakers do not have any timeouts. The Heat in the penalty, so they can't foul. Wade is guarding Bryant. Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up at the buzzer. Banks it in! Oh, he banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
They'd love to get it into Nash's hands, and they do.
Ball knocked away, stolen by Parker!
Oh, there it is.
Here comes George to Kobe Bryant. Bryant inside, it's good! It's good!
Great deflection by Parker. Parker knocked that ball loose, and this is a miraculous shot.
A year ago today, we lost Kobe Bryant. His daughter Gianna, seven others, perished in a horrific helicopter crash. Hoodie was on the air a year ago and did a tribute show with raw emotion. It's an awesome listen. And if you go to the ESPN Chicago app and go to the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, he reposted that show from 1 year ago today. I remember getting up on a Sunday morning, grabbing my coffee, and looking at my phone, and there's a breaking news alert from TMZ. What? Oh, my God, this can't be accurate. And then I got a call from a friend of mine who's a private investigator I went to high school with who lives in L.A. He's like, it's true. I'm not far from the scene. I'm on another case. And I remember just tears rolling down my face. And I'm not a crier. Like, oh, my God. How you went on the air and did that kind of show at that point is a tribute to you.
So it's Dickerson and I doing the national show on that Sunday, Cap. And you know how this goes, right? When you get information in your ear, you have to go with what you hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have our show planned out. We got bells and whistles. We're talking about the NFL, blah, blah, blah.
Where are you? At home?
I'm at home.
You're in the studio.
Yeah, but I'm with JD. And we're doing the show. And our producer says, okay, 30 seconds. 30 seconds. And you're just waiting, okay, 30 seconds before we hear the drums and start going and be all over the, do the national show. 15 seconds. All right, here we go. So we got our NFL stuff planned out. 10 seconds. We're hearing a story from TMZ. There's a plane down, and we believe Kobe and his family is dead. 2-1, go.
What?
And it's like, you don't expect that in your ear, right?
No.
We hear that there's a plane down. We believe Kobe Bryant and his family is on it. Let's talk about it in the first segment. 3-2-1, and now you're just on. And so JD's like, well, we are hearing speculation about Kobe Bryant. We'll give you more information. And so now the stories aren't rolling in. Now the misinformation starts, then the information starts. Because the first thing that we heard was that it was him and his entire family.
Right.
Then it was Kobe and Derek Fisher and his family. Then we come, and then as we move forward, we get more and more information, and we get the story right eventually. But it's counting down your ear. Kobe Bryant's dead. Go.
What?
What are you supposed to do?
Like, right.
But we're on not just Chicago. We're all over the country with this. Everyone's listening, and they're like, "What happened?" We are the first ones on the air to explain what happened. That was a tough day.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a tough day. JD, I give him all the credit because he was stronger than I was. I'm just quoting from Kobe Bryant, and then like I don't know what I said on that show, but it was that was a tough day because Kobe meant so much to so many people. After he was done with basketball, working for ESPN, doing the details, and then always around his kids, he became even more of a girl dad in his post career than he did as a player.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really tough day.
Yeah, you know, it's something that Danny's very, very good at. He'll be in my ear. I'll say to him on a talk back, hey, are you seeing this? Don't say anything yet. I will get everything confirmed, and then we will go with it. But there are times I've been doing TV, and Tom Cooper, who's awesome, in my ear. Okay, do not react. Here's what just happened. Now, yeah. Nothing as with the gravity of the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others. But there would be a major trade or a major Don't react. We're trying to confirm. And once you say it, people listening don't go, well, that idiot got bad info in his ear or it was a bad story. It's you're out there without a safety net. You're talking about something. You're like, 10, 9. We have a report Kobe Bryant was just kidding. What?
And go.
Like, you're trying to focus on coming out with energy. Hey, good morning, Cap'n J. Hood. What? Hoodie, quarterback. Excuse me? Like, oh my goodness.
Hang on, we're getting more information, but we believe Kobe's dead and go.
Right.
What?
I remember my wife coming down. I'm sad. Sitting on the couch with my coffee, and I'm emotional, and she's like, is everything okay? She knew it a year ago. My mom had been sick, but is everything okay? Kobe Bryant just got killed. And I'm like, she's like, what? His daughter, seven up, like, oh my, like, I've got chills going through me right now, yeah. Reliving that moment. I can't imagine being in your shoes doing a national talk show on ESPN. Insane.
Yeah, and they're just saying you just got to, and then you just have to go with it at that point in time. Now you're looking and trying to think back at the memories of Kobe, but it's fresh. It just happened. And now JD and I got to talk about it on the air. Just like, that was a very, very tough day. Very tough day. And then Jalen Rose comes on, and Shanae Agumake, and Jim Boeheim. We try to get as many guests and new Kobe as much as possible, but many didn't want to come on, and you can understand why.
They're devastated.
You know, it's just like, God, that was tough. And it's still tough today, even though it was just a year ago. You know, LeBron and AD talk about it now. Like, we can't fill the bill of that guy.
Right.
we're on the Lakers team, but we can't fill his shoes. Such an amazing player. We saw him from the beginning. When he opened his mouth, it sounded like Jordan. He walked like Jordan, played like Jordan.
He wanted to be.
And he just continued to move forward in his career as one of the all-time great Lakers. I really love his post-career, though, Cap. Being that guy, having his kids around him.
A businessman.
Just really, really good in his post-career.
I saw something, and we'll get to cross talk. I saw something on Twitter where they asked, why do you wear a suit and a tie to every game? He said, because Michael did, and he taught me. This is a business trip. We're not just showing up to play hoop. This isn't summer rec league. And I always struck with, boy, that guy just, he was all class.
You got it.
Anyway, we will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.